Lord Jesus, we give you this time. As we learn together, we have so much to learn from you, with you, in you. Help us, Lord, to keep you at the center of our hearts. Even when we speak together, teach us to remain in you, to let your spirit dwell in us, so that you continue to teach us wherever we are, whatever we do, and that we can discover what it means to pray without ceasing, to remain in your peace, which surpasses all understanding, to walk in your spirit, to dwell in you, Jesus. Amen. The Bible is an important tool for learning to listen to God. It's a very important part. Especially, you will have many people who don't know much about the Bible. You will need to give them the foundations for them to know well God. It has always been for Christians the first place to go to learn who is God and how to interact with God. So how to teach people? Here is an approach that I will show you now. We spoke a little bit about it. We saw the Articles of Faith yesterday. You remember the 16 articles? If I ask you, what is article number 7, what is it? Gift of prevenient grace. What is article number 12?
Baptism.
Baptism, Victor?
Baptizing,
good job. Number 15?
Jesus' second return.
Return of Jesus Christ. What is the number 3? Yeah. What is the number 10?
Holiness, sanctity,
holiness.
Holiness and entire sanctification. Which one is justification, regeneration?
Nine.
What is the number of the article on the Lord's Supper?
13.
What is the number 8? What is the article just before atonement?
Good.
What is the one after the Lord's Supper? Great. You notice I make you go back and forth to weave your memory so that the pictures help you to connect things out of order, what is before, what is after, which makes a much stronger memory. If we want to use technical terms, it's to create resilience in your memory. Resilience means you fail at a part, but you can go back, correct the problem quickly. Instead of having a problem which remains a problem. You go through a struggle, and this struggle creates other struggles. Your memory, when it is unidirectional and unidimensional, it has almost no resilience. You forget a word in a verse, all the rest falls apart. It's done. When you use two-dimensional tools, memory, visual tools, which connect concepts together with images, you can have a resilient memory, which means if you forget something, you can rebuild it. You can go backward, forward, to reach again the key element in many ways. When your memory is only rote memory, you cannot do that. Have you noticed? It's a very important element. It means you have a more plastic, resistant, resilient memory. Which means, at a practical level, people remember longer, better, and can use it more efficiently. Do you think we could use that in education? Could it be it will help people to have a better knowledge, which is more practical, that they can embody more easily? I believe so. It is the same for the Bible. How to help people to have such a knowledge of scriptures that wherever they are, they can pull the story of the Bible matching the need of the person. You see someone in the bus, on the road, in a store, you have in store all the stories of the Bible that you cannot reach directly to share. Oh, what you share reminds me of this story of the Bible. And then you can transform a simple moment in a store in a moment where you share a life-giving story which helps people to sense what I hear connects with what I experience and I can learn from scriptures. Could it be helpful? But for that, you need to be able to access whatever scripture story at whatever moment. And let me be honest with you, God does not delight in laziness. God does not delight in laziness. He gave us a brain to use it and to develop ways to glorify His name. I show you ways which hopefully are useful to you. If they are not useful, please be polite with me and trash it away when I'm done, okay? Polite so that I don't feel too bad, but if you sense it's not useful, tell me so that I understand why. But if it's useful, go for it. These tools are copyrighted to be used, which means you can print translations. You have to send me the translations and I integrate them in the graphics. The purpose is that you use them so that you can, for you first, develop a resilient, structured, healthy knowledge of scriptures. So that in a few days, if I ask you, for instance, what are the different parts of the Bible, you can tell me all the parts of the Bible easily, how they connect together, and you can even give me a spiritual lesson just with the part of the Bible. So let's start with it. So the Study Map Bible basically is an app for those who have an iPad. Is there someone with an iPad here? Okay, Bob, you can download it. It's an app. You type Study Map Bible, or you tap my name and you can download it from the App Store. It's in English or in French for this app. You can have the Articles of Faith. You type either for iPhones or for Android. You just type AOF Study Map and you get the Articles of Faith app. This one, it was done by the Asia Pacific region because they felt it's a good tool to use, so they integrated the Articles of Faith, the text of the teaching on the Articles of Faith, not the either the teaching simple, a little bit like we did together, and even the article of the manual if people wanted the precise text of the manual. So you have just to type in your phones, for those who have a smartphone, AOF Study Map, either in the App Store or in the store for Android. AOF Study Map. How do I name this one?
In the App Store?
Study Map Bible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Study Map Bible. You have even on the iPhone Gospel of John Study Map if you want. So it's some apps, and for everything you go to studymaps.org and you have all the graphics there. I write to you again. Sorry. Yes, that's it. So that can be tools you have, and one of the ways for the Articles of Faith, you can print business cards with that you keep with you and you can show to people wherever you are. Either the Articles of Faith, or you can also use the basic Christian beliefs, but the one you can use, I would say, without mentioning Nazarene. Basically, you teach your Articles of Faith, you just don't tell it's the Nazarene foundations of faith. You say it's because the truth is it's biblical foundations, it's Christian foundations. So you can use this one when I'm with people who are not if they are not Christians or not Nazarenes or don't want to hear, but want to hear about God and the Bible, I go with this one first. And in your churches, in Nazarene churches, use the articles of faith, of course. And in Africa, what we have seen is people learn to be happy. To be happy, to be part of a denomination which has good things that are practical, which can be used to share their faith more efficiently. And they don't need, and when you have people who have learned with that, to come to a Nazarene church is easy because they will say, oh, what you teach is what I heard. And there is a coherence from the start. And you avoid a lot of problems, my friends. A lot of problems with weird doctrines here and there. You start with the foundations of faith. They can see how it matches in the Bible. And it can help for church development. So let's go for the study map Bible now. So you go on the website, for those who don't have an iPad for the app. Study map Bible, English. It seems the internet connection has been lost.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
So the trick is we have to go out. Let me have a plan thing. So I hope you find the apps for whatever machine, phone, or iPad or computer. And the whole purpose of the Study Map Bible is to give you a visual Bible that you can use with multiple languages. One of the advantages of pictures is you can have a multilingual group. They can benefit from a tool in even one language. So people who speak Polish and English can learn together because the pictures will be in common. So even if they don't get the graphic in their language, which we can in the long run, my hope is to help you and we have ways for the region to develop that kind of tools if they are helpful for you. Even you can start with another language. And we can even have graphics without words so that you can add the words yourself if you want to. That's even the fastest, so you don't have to go through me. You get the graphic without words, and with your computer you put the words you want at the right places. Okay, so there are many ways to do it simply. Another advantage, with one page you can give a 20 or 40 hours class, the one on the Bible with the graphic on all the books of the Bible you have for the groups of the different parts of the Bible. Each book of the Bible has a picture with a subtitle for a key element of the book. Of course, in the class you will tell key elements of each book of the Bible, but you can make people memorize, memory again, a key element for each book, which will give them a sense of confidence. They know the names of the books and at least a key element which is inside each book. That would not be too bad. If I ask some of you, what is the content of the book of Nahum? Could you tell me that? After years, Nahum. You know it's in the Bible, the book of Nahum?
God's judgment on the wicked in Nineveh.
Yeah, do you think it helps? Yeah. The truth is we have been through... Oh, that's not this one.
I'm not sure that it's working. It seems like the internet has
everything here. Okay, so if internet is not working... internet? It's not working?
Yeah, it hasn't been working since 4 last night.
Okay, so in this case, we need to...
Well, that's just the history, that's what you're
doing. Okay, so if internet is not working, take your page, which has the graphic on the Bible. I will try to find a way on my side. Sorry, give me 1 minute. Something that sometimes it works, sometimes it does not. Or let's go for the USB drive.
I see you.
Okay. Let's go with USB drive.
It just got it. You were here.
Oh my.
And then you, I tried to click on you and you left.
Okay, you know what? I have the files.
Okay.
So,
yeah, right,
do you have one?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Let's continue together. Sorry for this interruption. Now let's go to the Bible, the Word of God. How to learn the different parts of the Bible in ways which are simple. You have a graphic, and you notice on this graphic.
This is amazing.
Hmm?
This is amazing.
What?
It is amazing.
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like it?
Yeah.
Okay, so. With that, you can have a knowledge of the scriptures, which is pretty efficient. Yes? Yes, I can. Did you know we need helpers? Thank you, Sandra. Well, the scriptures, you can, with this kind of approach, memorize easily the key elements of the structure of the Bible. In ways, I hope you will realize there are things you didn't get before, even with PhDs or whatever. Because the simplicity of the biblical text is sometimes forgotten by our effort to make it complicated sometimes. Because, you know, we're pretty good to make it complicated. Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Let's keep it simple. In the Bible, you have different parts. You have in the Old Testament four parts. the Torah, historical books, poetical books, and prophets. You see how it works? You have different pictures for the different books on a white thread leading you through all the different books. Do you see that? It's a red thread. Oh, and yours is gray. I'm sorry. I did not print the right one. It should be a red thread. It's always a red, a good thread. But I guess with a gray thread, you will get it also. Yes, so sorry about that. I think it's a picture I used which was not with a red thread. So I think you will be able to adapt. You see this thread going through from the first book to the last one. This thread helps to connect the linear way, the fact each book goes after the other, with a two-dimensional structure, which will help you to connect things together. You have four parts in the Old Testament. How many parts in the New Testament? Four parts also. And you can discuss. You have people who put three parts in the New Testament. We can debate these things. In the Old Testament, the Jews say it's three parts. This way, I think, will be easy to remember for you, because we will be able to connect the parts in the Old Testament with the parts in the New Testament. The heart of the whole Old Testament, for the Jews and for Christians, the most important books are the five first books of the Bible, for the whole Old Testament. And the most important books of the New Testament are the four Gospels. Without the Gospels, you don't have a balanced theology, because the heart of the New Testament is Jesus. And his life is the source of all the teachings of the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Torah, the teachings of God given to the people of Israel through their deliverance of Egypt, and the deliverance of Egypt is the most important teaching of God. It's not out, it's part of the teaching. It's in the Torah. So you can match the two and realize they are connected. So the heart of the Old Testament is the Torah. The heart of the New Testament are the Gospels. There are common points and differences. I did not use the word Pentateuch, because Pentateuch means in Greek, Pentateuchos, five rolls, five scrolls. It's not very spiritual. The Torah, it's the way the Jews named the first five books. It comes, as I mentioned to you, from the verb yara, which means to show the way, to throw a stone, to throw an arrow, to guide. And it's a teaching where it's relational. Remember that the laws in the Old Testament are Torah, teaching, which need a teacher and a student. And when Jesus reminds us that the Spirit wants to teach us everything, he reminds us that we are not supposed to analyze the biblical book. We are supposed to enter in a relationship with God where he teaches us through scriptures. Relationship is at the foundation of the word Torah, okay? Most modern scholars in seminaries will say Torah's translation should be teaching. It would be closer. So when you hear Torah, I hope you hear teaching, relationship, not a bunch of rules that you have to follow, whether it's rules of the Old Testament or rules of the New Testament. These rules have to become alive in a relationship. Then they are powerful. It's the same way as you with your children. When you teach your children, it's the quality of your relationship with your children which will be the foundation of their obedience. If there is love and care on your side, they will want to obey. If you're not a good person, they will not want to obey. Did you know that? They will obey perhaps because they don't want to be beaten. But on the long term, when the beating is no more there, the obedience will be gone. If the love is the foundation, the response of obedience becomes natural. It was the case with Israel, who obeyed God because he was their deliverer, their savior. It's the same way with us. We want to obey Jesus because he's our savior, our deliverer. Same approach. So, could you repeat with me, Torah?
Torah.
And if we zoom, it's God's teaching for God's people, Israel. Repeat with me.
God's teaching for God's people, Israel.
Of course, you know that we will play games together later, and I will ask you if you know. Just by saying that, a change comes in the students. They know that what they learn has value for the community. So that the learning becomes part of the quality of relationships. By doing that, there is a shift in our brain. Ah, I can be tested. There is a painful element where we say, oh no, I have to work hard. And there is a good element. I want to show that I learn well. You have these two. Don't let people be passive in class. Tell them you expect them to learn during the classroom. That makes a huge difference in the connections in the brain, because when you are half asleep, you're thinking nobody will notice. When you know that someone will ask you questions, you realize sleepiness is not an option. I have to shake me to get the things because I have to remember. And that's a part. Another part also is the horizontality of the classroom. To explain people that the only true master is Jesus. And when we play games and when we ask questions to each other, have you noticed how children begin to love it? Kids have been created for interaction. Learning passively is something difficult. In the time of Jesus, people never learned passively. To the sadness of some rabbis, anyone could ask any question at any time. So interaction was always part of learning. The more our learnings, our teachings are interactive, the more we learn well. We are created to be in relationships. We are created to interact with each other. In turn, we have to learn not to interact all the time. But if there is not at least a bit of interaction, our brains begin to disconnect and we struggle to stay attentive. It's only the ones among us who are sick who are able to function well memorizing without interacting. It's not normal. It's a learned way which is not the foundation for kids. That's a paradox. Observe children and you will notice that. And this possibility for children to ask questions to adults, they love it. They love it because they realize they are part of a community. And that can be a good way for you to help people to participate in learning. So the first part, let's repeat together, Torah, God's teaching, for whom? For God's people. In the Torah, who is God's people?
Israel.
So let's repeat again together, God's teaching, for God's people,
Israel.
Let's now go to the Gospels. The Gospels are also the heart, this time, of the New Testament. They have common points and difference. In the Old Testament, it's the teaching of God which is the center. In the Gospels, it's Jesus. It's no more a teaching, the center. It's a person. Have you noticed the difference? So that we see Jesus from four angles, from four Gospels, which highlight four facets of who Jesus is. Some of the facets are in common. You have three Gospels which are very close, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Many things in common. You have one which is way different. It shows light on a very different facet of Jesus. It's the same Jesus. But it shows a different part of who Jesus is. So we need the four Gospels. We cannot say, I want just one Gospel. The four Gospels are helpful. If you would remove the Gospel of John, quite a bit of our theology would be in difficulty. Try to do the theology of the Trinity without the Gospel of John. You will have difficulties, my friends. So, the Gospels, let's repeat together. Gospels.
God's teaching,
this time for all humanity,
in Jesus Christ,
the Son of God.
The Son of God.
So the difference with the Torah is both cases God's teaching. In one case, it's for whom? For the Torah? For God's people. God's teaching for God's people, Israel. Here, it's God's teaching for whom? All humanity. It's in Jesus Christ, his teaching. The Son of God. The mystery for the New Testament is this teaching is embedded in Jesus. The good news is Jesus. The good news is Jesus. Often we wonder, what is the good news? It's deliverance, salvation, okay? What means Yeshua in Hebrew? It means that salvation. So even his name means, what is his ministry? It's completely connected. And the good news is that Jesus is man and God, that man and God have been reunited. He is the solution. And through the Spirit can help you to experience this solution, with the Spirit uniting with your life so that you're man united to God. Irenaeus of Lyons would say, it was a theologian, a Christian of the first century, God became man so that man can be God. Or God became united to man so that man can be united to God. This unity between God and man is the good news. The separation from sin has been destroyed in Jesus, in his life first, then through his sacrifice on the cross for us. He gave his life for us so that's another facet of the atonement, his sacrifice out of love, so that we can experience through his sacrifice reconciliation with God, through the Spirit of God, a united life with God. The good news is Jesus. Everything is embedded in him. So let's repeat together. Gospels. God's teaching. For all humanity, in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I tell it completely and you repeat after me. Gospels are God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to you.
Gospels, God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
To know this part can be good. God's teaching for all humanity. You know that he's teaching humanity. How? In Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? The Son of God. And you get a pretty good element of what the gospel is just by unwrapping this little title. It's almost the first verse of Mark, beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's almost that. I just added all humanity. So, what is the common point between gospel and Torah? God's teaching. What is the difference? In Torah, it's for whom?
God's people,
Israel, only one people. In the New Testament, it's for whom? All humanity. And it is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Have you noticed there is a picture in the background of your paper? What is this picture in the background? A Bible, a red Bible with a yellow cross. I love red and yellow because red reminds us of the blood of Christ. And yellow is a picture sometimes used for God. When you want to have saints, they have a little crown in which color?
Yellow.
It's often, gold is often used for God. So the cross of Christ is at the heart of the Bible. And have you noticed? You have four parts in the Old Testament, Torah, historical books. Have you noticed there is a little box in the middle between the four parts? Have you noticed where is this little box?
At the center
of the cross. To remind you, Christ is at the heart of the New Testament. The whole purpose of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, is to prepare us to welcome Jesus. The whole purpose of the Old Testament is to teach humanity to be united to God. Did you know that? That's the purpose of the teachings of God. How to be united to God, that's the purpose of all the Old Testament. Where does it become a reality?
In Jesus Christ.
In Jesus. That's why Jesus is the answer to all the prophets, all the Old Testament. He is the one who lives perfectly the hope proclaimed in the Old Testament. He's the Messiah, the Anointed. Anointed, Mashiach in Hebrew, Christos in Greek, the one who has received the Spirit, who lived with the Spirit, this intimate relationship with God all the time. That's what he came to teach us. That's why he is the solution. Isn't it simple? You know that we make it complicated? Oh, Jesus is at the heart of the Old Testament. Yeah, it's because you have a few verses which speak about Jesus. Really? That's all? That's the complete fabric of the Old Testament which is preparing for Christ. The complete fabric of the Old Testament, the struggles of the flesh to submit to God, to realize that God is loving, that we can walk with God, that we can serve God, that we can be transformed by God. And it becomes alive in Jesus. In Jesus you have the complete solution. And this solution will be brought further. So, repeat together, Torah is God's teaching for
God's people, Israel.
And the Gospels?
God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, Son of God.
I ask you to close your eyes. It's a difficult task, I know. But now, what is the first part of the Old Testament? What is the title? Good. Now the New Testament, the first part.
Gospels.
The subtitle, what is it?
God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you. Just there, you have a huge spiritual element you can teach. You can explain that God started with Israel because he wanted to enter in humanity progressively. He started with a people, but these people failed. We'll see that in the historical books. In Jesus, it will succeed. He is a Jew, by the way, and it will spread to all people. Does it mean God did not do a good job with the Torah? And that he was mistaken, he thought, let's try with people. And since it does not work with the whole people, let's try with one at a time? I don't think so. I think with God, all what we see as failures are preparations for success. All what we see as failures are preparation for success. Do you have failures in your lives? Do you think you should trash that because you want only success? Could it be that your failures in your life are God's preparations for success? That your failures become God's ground to bring his love and make you lead you to success? Could it be? With God, whatever happens can be used. Whatever wound or struggle or failure or difficulty in his hands begins to make sense. And your whole story begins to be weaved with his love, and even the darkest parts of your history will be redeemed. It's the same with the Bible. Let's not despise what happens in the Torah, but delight because it will be connected with the deeper successes which come later. It's a preparation. As God prepares us through different steps, okay? Last time, close your eyes. Torah is
God's teaching for God's people, Israel.
Gospels are
God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Great. Open your eyes. Now we have the second part of the Old Testament, the historical books. You have Joshua, a rather positive account of the entrance in the Promised Land. It looks shiny, Jericho, great, but already in Jericho the problems begin because one of the guys, Achan, stole stuff, and because of that he brings curse on the whole people of Israel. They have to sacrifice him. After they have the battle of Ai, they can finally win the battle. Then just after, people trick them, the Gibeonites, they trick the people of Israel in making them believe they come from far away, in fact they are neighbors. A whole mess. And it's just the beginning. It continues with Judges, a cycle of wickedness and deliverance. 4 or 5 times in the book of Judges, it's always the same circle. They start with being faithful, then they forget God and they fall into idolatry. Once they are in idolatry, there is the consequence, which is they are overtaken by the other idolatrous people. Then they cry to God, and when they cry to God, God responds and delivers them by sending a judge or deliverer. You think they got it? What do they do? Again, and again, and again. And worse, not only like that, it's almost a spiraling down, getting worse and worse. And when you get at the end of the book of Judges, even the deliverers are full of wickedness. Samson, do you like him? Going to prostitutes, beating people when he's angry. God uses him still. But you can sense it's going down. And it will go worse with a Levite who is taking an idol and worshipping an idol and brought on 2 tribes killing each other with the Gibeonites who are raping a woman to death in such a horrible way that everyone is appalled, and a man cuts his wife in bits and pieces, the woman who has been killed. Isn't that wickedness? Even the man who is claiming righteousness is full of wickedness himself. And they will still punish the Gibeonites, and then they realize, they will punish the Benjaminites. Then the tribe of Benjamin is almost destroyed, and they say, we have a problem, one of our 12 tribes is almost destroyed, let us get women for these wicked people. There is no healing, no repentance. They force women to be wives of these wicked people who have survived. And they will even let them steal women to make them their wives, from one of the far away Jewish places, full of wickedness already. Judges is not a fun book, but it's an important book because in our lives, we know this circle where we follow God, we fall, we repent, we pray, we ask God's help, He helps us. Have you gone through this circle? Hopefully you have not killed people, but this circle of wickedness, we know what we're speaking about. Jesus came to get us away from that. That's why we have the message of holiness. Deliverance from sin, real deliverance, where we can really walk in holiness. If not, the message of Christianity is painful and sad. The message of Jesus is that He wants to get us away from that. But the historical books, it will go down. You will have Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, then they end up in exile because they have been going so deep in idolatry that God will say, now I get you away. And they come back more or less, part of Israel, part will stay in Babylon, part will come back in Israel. And even there, it will be painful and difficult. It's not the shiny people of God, successful, faithful, perfect. It's a struggling people who barely survives, barely keeps listening to God, once in a while, imperfectly. Has it been our case sometimes? Barely making it as Christians? For me, I was barely making it as a missionary, playing chess to forget that I was failing in ministry, forgetting that a key part of my role I did not play, that I did not spend time in prayer, that I did not learn to delight in God, so that my love for God was very shallow, even as a missionary. Does it happen to you sometimes? Yes. Sadly, it happens to us also. So let us be honest and simple and realize that these historical books can speak to our hearts. not as an end point, but a starting point. And in these books, you learn about the attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. Attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. Could you repeat with me? Historical books.
Historical books.
Attempt and failure of Israel.
Attempt and failure of Israel.
To obey God's teaching.
To obey God's teaching.
Let's repeat together the whole. I read it once for you and then you repeat. Historical books. Attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. Your turn.
Historical books. Attempts and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching.
Excellent. Now you can close your eyes. Memorizing is not easy. To have a teacher walking you with you for that makes a big difference. Let's do it together. What is the name of the group of books?
Historical books.
What is the meaning?
Attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching.
Okay, together this time. Attempt, historical books. Attempt and failure to obey God's teaching. You notice we have again God's teaching? It starts by attempt and failure of whom?
Israel.
To do what?
To obey
God's teaching. Is obedience only for these foolish Jews and New Testament Christians? We don't need obedience? Sometimes I heard that. It makes me angry. Because Jesus says it's not the one who says, Lord, Lord, who will be saved. It's the one who does the will of my Father. Obedience is at the heart of faith. You cannot have faith without obedience. You cannot have obedience without faith, the saving obedience. That's why Paul made the introduction to the book of Romans. He said, my purpose, me, Paul, the one we describe as the apostle of faith, is to bring the Gentiles to the obedience of faith. He got the thing, okay, let's help people to connect faith and obedience. And you find it in Romans 16 again, to bring people to the obedience of faith. Do not be fooled. Don't separate obedience from faith. Faith comes by hearing from the word of Christ. You learn to listen to God, to listen to Christ, and you obey Him. Isn't it simple? Do you think we can teach others that? So, let's repeat the last time. Historical books. Attempt and failure. Okay, so now let's have perhaps together, let's repeat, attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. By making you repeat, I make you connect your auditive senses with the kinesthetic part where you pronounce. You are not walking brains, you are humans. By moving, when you learn way better. If I make you listen passively, I weaken your capacity to learn. When we teach in a way where students don't participate, even simply by making them repeat, we weaken their capacity to learn. When we make people participate, people learn better. And learning, integrating information, is the difficult part. It's not to deliver information. A DVD can do that. Wikipedia is great for that. What is difficult is to integrate information. So let's get our hands dirty. Let's work with the students to help them learn. That's a key part of the teacher. To accompany the student through the learning process. We move from the sage on the stage to be a paraclete, the one who stands beside, walks with the persons, and encourages them to learn well. It's a different role, a very important one. Let's look at the New Testament, what happens after the teaching. So, Gospels was God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, what is the book of Acts? The name of the book of Christ is Preaching Christ to the Whole World, but the title for this part is Acts, Success in Living Jesus' Teaching Through the Spirit of God. Before we had attempt and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. Now we have success in living Jesus' teaching. We don't have God's teaching, but Jesus' teaching. Why do we have success? Because it is through the Spirit of God. Some people say it's the Acts of the Spirit, the story of how the Spirit of God led the church in the New Testament. That's a good description. Could you repeat with me? Acts? Success in living. Sorry, I have to do a better word. That's my part. I have to improve my work to be with you. Let's repeat together, line by line. Success in living. Jesus teaching. Through the Spirit of God. So you have three parts. The success in living, what Jesus teaching, how? Through the Spirit of God. So the first part is?
Success in living, Jesus teaching, through the Spirit of God.
Let's do it again.
Success in living, Jesus teaching, through the Spirit of God.
Yeah, and I'm learning to do always better when I help others, because I'm imperfect, as you notice. So, the historical books has three, we can say, two parts. First part is attempts and failure of Israel.
Attempts and failure of Israel.
To do what? To obey God's teaching. Okay, so the first part is?
Attempts and failure of Israel. To obey God's teaching.
So in the Old Testament you have God's teaching in the Torah. You have then the historical books which show the struggle and failure. In the New Testament, it's the historical part. In the New Testament, you also have the teaching in the Gospels, and you have the historical books in the New Testament, the Acts. This time, it's a success. This time is a success. What is the key?
Jesus teaching.
It's Jesus' teaching and
the
Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, no success. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go away. The disciples did not get it, and often we don't get it. How many Christians I hear tell me, I would prefer to be in the time of Jesus than to be today. Have you ever had people like that? Jesus said exactly the opposite. He said, it's better for you that I go away. You don't understand yet, but when the Spirit comes, He will teach you everything, so that even the 12 disciples can ask 12 questions to Jesus at the same time, and Jesus can respond to the 12 students, to the 12 disciples at the same time for each of them. Isn't it crazy? If we leave it, we begin to say, oh yes, I get it now. I get it. It's better for us because the Spirit of God with Him, Jesus is with me all the time. And you have all this mystical language in the New Testament which makes sense. I am in Christ. And Christ is in me. Not this big mystical stuff where it has no fruits. Simple dialogues, heart to heart, practical guidance, which brings amazing fruits. Do you want that? Are we ready to take time to learn to do that? To take time in prayer to get in tune with Jesus and to continue to walk during the day sensitive to His word, to what He says, so that we can continue this heart dialogue through the day, so that our life becomes a life of prayer. Are we ready for that stuff? Are we ready to do it? It's simple. It's not big complex stuff. We have to learn to be simple Christians. Jesus was very... What is shocking to me is I spent so many years studying in a complex way, and Jesus' teachings are such simple, so simple. He says, you have to become like little children. Are little children looking for complex stuff? No. Simplicity. Simplicity at all the levels. Does it mean our simplicity kicks away our education? No. We also have to study with simplicity. But these tools which have been developed are very valuable. Let's not make the mistake of confusing simplicity by not having to learn anything. The simplicity is we learn with Jesus. We do everything with Jesus. We go through the education with Jesus. And the power of God is released through this attitude. So we see the two parts of the Old and the New Testament. Now I will ask you to close your eyes and we will do a test. You can ask whoever you want. You know the game, we are students and we become teachers when we answer well. So I will ask, ready to close your eyes? I know it's complicated. And try to move, return away your page, turn the page, because the temptation to flip the eyes open 1 second, I know you never do that, but just in case, flip the page so you don't see it, and I will also flip the computer so you don't see it there either. Okay. Who could tell me what is the first part of the Old Testament? Leave the hand. Okay. I go with Gil first. Gil, what is the first part of the Old Testament?
Torah.
Teaching, what is the description of the meaning?
Teachings of God for the God's people, Israel.
Excellent. Professor Gil, who becomes your student? And you can open the eyes when you're your teacher.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to call on student J.
Okay.
Can you tell me what
on the other review when yes.
What's in the beginning of the New Testament?
The Gospels. God's teaching for all humanity through Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Excellent. Teacher J, who becomes your student? Yes, attempts and failure of Israel to obey God's teaching. Very good. Yeah. Teacher Emil, who is your student? For whom?
God's teaching for all humanity in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Perfect. Excellent. Teacher Betsy, who is your student?
Thalia. Acts.
Acts. What is it?
Success in living. Jesus teaching.
Excellent.
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah, it's even through the Spirit of God. So Acts, success in living, Jesus teaching through the Spirit of God. Excellent. You can open the eyes. Let's continue. We have only half of the parts. Let's get the other parts. And you will see it's fun because you can teach at different levels. By teaching people that there are connections between Old and New Testament, you teach them that this book is a whole, that there are deep connections between the different parts. So they will value more the different parts because they will see how they connect together and that it's not disconnected things. but that you can you have a progression in each testament and that you have connections with the different ports. Let's go to the last port of the Old Testament. The big square in the middle. Do you see it? In the Old Testament.
Prophets.
It's the prophets. And the prophets, in general, they do two things. Oh, I can plug it. Yes, thank you, Lucy. I definitely need help in many ways. Thank you. So, the prophets, it's basically the prophets don't come to speak only about the future. They do speak. They do prepare the way. But their first role is a little bit like Ezekiel was taught. He said you are to be a sentinel on the wall who warns the people what's going on, what is the consequence of their actions. Either it's warnings or encouragements. Two sides. When the people of God is sinning, the prophets are warning the people of the consequences. You can look at the book of Jeremiah, for instance. When the people go in deportation, Jeremiah shifts completely. He speaks of hope. One of the verses many people love is Jeremiah 29:11. Who knows this verse? For I have good plans for you. To prosper and not to harm you. To give you hope and a future. Isn't it beautiful? To whom is he speaking? To people who are going into exile. Isn't it interesting? We forget this part. The prophets are giving God's warning and encouragement. So the title of the prophet, sorry, is God's warning and encouragement. Repeat with me.
God's warning and encouragement.
Through men of God.
Through men of God.
Okay? So the title could be different. Let's be honest. You could come up with another title for prophets. It's just the impression this one would allow you to speak about key elements of what prophets are about. There is no perfect title. If you think the graphic is perfect, I'm sorry, it is not. You know that. My hope is it's a good teaching tool. So let's repeat together. Prophets.
Prophets.
God's warnings and encouragements.
God's warnings and encouragements.
Through men of God.
Through men of God.
Could you do that, the eyes closed? This last part of the Old Testament is?
Prophets, God's warnings and encouragements through the men of God.
Excellent. Let's move to the last part of the New Testament. Ah, it's also a prophetic book. Interesting, don't you think? Oh, could it be that there is a coherence even in the way our books are positioned? Isn't it nice? So Revelation is God's warnings and encouragements for the return of Christ. Have you noticed the warnings at the beginning with the letters to the seven churches? But there is also encouragement. You have both sides. Let's repeat together. Revelation.
Revelation.
God's warning and encouragements.
God's warning and encouragements.
For the return of Christ. In the prophets, there is not always a clear focus. We could say for the coming of the Messiah, but it's not in all the prophets, the coming of the Messiah. It's in some more than others. At a deep level, yes. At a verse level, not always. In Revelation, clearly is preparing for the coming of Jesus, the return of Christ. Okay, let's repeat together. Revelation.
Revelation.
God's warnings and encouragements.
For
the return of Christ. Okay. Shall we play a little bit before doing the last two parts, or shall we go for the last two parts right now?
Let's play.
You're a wise person, because it will help you to integrate the information before we add another one. Okay. So let's start with, oh, it's a complex task, I know, but you will need to flip your page. I'm sorry. I know it's difficult, it's a little complex, because you need to connect the brain with the movement of the hand, but let's make it. Now let me ask Relu. What is the last part of the Old Testament?
Prophets. God's warning and encouragement to the men of God.
Okay. God's warning and encouragement through the men of God, correct. Teacher Relu, who is your student?
Dave.
What?
Be any
of the
first part,
the ones we have studied together.
The Torah.
Mm-hmm.
The Torah teaching to God's people, Israel.
Yes, very good. God's teaching for God's people, Israel. Teaching Dave, who is your student?
Let's see, Robert.
Okay. You can open your eyes. The teacher can look at the paper, can open the eyes. That's the freedom when you become teacher.
The second part of the Old Testament.
Second part of the Old Testament.
Historical books.
Yes?
No, sorry.
It's what happens in historical books.
Attempts and failures. God's people.
Yeah, to do what? To obey?
To obey. God's teaching.
Excellent. Okay. Attempts and failure.
Attempts and failure of God's people to obey God's teaching.
Very good. Teacher Bob or Robert, who becomes your student?
Pete.
He's grateful, he says thank you.
What's the second part of the New Testament?
Acts, which would be the
yes, success in living. Yes, in living Jesus' teaching. What is the key for the success? Through what?
Of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, excellent. Very good. Teacher Pete, who do you want to honor with a question? Roberta. Revelation, what is it?
Revelation. Warnings and encouragement about the coming of Christ.
Yes, about the coming of Christ, yes. And the key thing is to have the key elements, and we learn together. The memory is helped, the rote memory, by the precise words. So, in general, I will repeat after to help you on the rote memory side, God's warning and encouragement for the return of Christ. But let's be honest, Roberta's answer is already perfect. It's just to help people to have these precise names. It will help people. But the most important is not that people repeat word for word. It's that they understand what is behind. And be always careful when you go with rote memory. You hear me praise memory, yes, but still value understanding. Never let someone go by with a rote memory that they cannot explain. So ask them to say it with other words sometimes. Okay, God's warning and encouragement for the return of Christ. What means the return of Christ? Oh, it's when Jesus comes back. If people have no idea, you have to realize, because people can repeat perfectly without having a single idea what it's about. Okay? Memory, yes, but understanding must be combined. Okay? So let's go for the... And Roberta, you stay the teacher for the next time, okay? You can already prepare for the next student. Let's go for the last part, which is, if we may say, a little far-fetched, not very far-fetched, but different, but we can still connect them. In the Old Testament, the third part is called the poetical books. In the poetical books, we have teachings on different subjects. In Job, the subject is suffering and faithfulness, how to remain faithful in the midst of suffering. That's the heart of Job's book. The book of Psalms is about how to pray to God, to pray God. Proverbs is about practical wisdom. Ecclesiastes is a meditation about the meaning of life and how the fear of God ultimately is the key. And we can speak as Christians what means the fear of God. Perhaps I will take a little time because it's a concept many Christians don't understand. They say, oh, the first thing I get from Christians is perfect love casts out fear. End of the story, don't speak to me about fear. The problem is the fear of God is one of the most important concepts of all the Old and the New Testament. Did you know Jesus speaks of fear? And that it has value? Did you know that? Did he say something like, do not fear the one who can destroy the body and can do nothing after, but fear the one who can destroy the body and the soul? Who is the one who can destroy only the body? Who can destroy only the body? The devil. Who can destroy body and soul? God. Basically, he's saying, stop fearing the devil. Go back to fearing God. We have in pedagogy to remember the basics of education. For teachers, we have to know the value of the fear of God. Any child, even when they are 2 years old, they learn the word no. Have you noticed that? Around 3 years, it's a top time to say no. Do that? No. Have you experienced that? Oh my, Jay, you're still there. Oh my. That's a part of learning. We reject the authority given, the authority of someone who loves us. This rejection is part of our growth, but we have to teach people obedience. And when a kid says no, we have to find ways to punish the kid. I'm sorry, if you want to teach without any punishment, you will not end up with good results. The form of punishment can evolve. You can say you will not have a dessert. You can say, if you do that, I don't speak with you. It's a punishment already. Or you can give a tap on the bottom. Or you can, different forms, different cultures, different times. The Bible will say, spare the rod, and you will spoil the child. It does not mean you need a rod today, that Gil needs to go to buy a rod for beating your kids tonight, okay? It was a cultural way to punish the children. You need to have a way to encourage your kids and to punish your kids. The problem of our modern world is we have said, oh, punishment was too harsh, so let's remove punishment, just encourage. What result do we get? Self-centered, spoiled child. I did not say it. You know it. If people don't see impact to their actions, they don't learn. And it's through failure that we learn key lessons in life. If you want to avoid for your kids to fail and to struggle, they will never learn anything. They will only try things where they can succeed. But it's do your kids succeed walking direct, or do they fail once in a while when they learn to walk? Of course they fail, and there is a punishment for the failure. They harm themselves. It's not because the ground is wicked. It's because it's the foundation of learning. Learning is by trial, mistake, correction. But when you make a mistake, if you don't have a negative feedback, will you be interested in changing? No. You need a negative feedback to know you should not continue this one. Is it too complicated, or do you think it makes sense? Do you think we get it? And grades in a class have a purpose to give feedback, sometimes positive feedback, sometimes negative feedback. The fear of God is about the fact that when we do something wrong, God will give a negative feedback. Did you know that? When you do something wrong, God gives negative feedback. And when a kid learns that there is negative feedback when he does something wrong, he begins to internalize the teachings that you give and begins to realize, I should not do that because I will get a spanking. And if you do it well, the kid will get very little spanking once in a while. In my life, I stole one time from the purse of my mother. She did not beat me, but I felt so guilty. And my mother said, it's not right. In a way, I did not have a strong beating. But the lesson was so clear, I never wanted to do that again. I felt so bad inside. And some kids, they have this inner fear inside there. Others, they need a beating, you know? Some kids, you can beat them as much as you want, they almost will laugh when you beat them. Did you know that? You have...
My uncle's kids used to spank a lot, so they will say, we're ready.
Yeah, and the problem is, it does not achieve the purpose. The purpose is to teach, it's not to beat. It has never been. The purpose is to give a negative feedback so that the child learns. That's where the art to be parents is to find the right negative feedback which helps the kids to learn the fastest. Sometimes it's just one word it's needed. And you have to learn how your kid learn to give the negative feedback just adapted to them. That's love. And when you remove this negative feedback, what happens? You remove the learning. So you cannot learn without learning the fear of God. As kids, we have learned to fear to be punished, to fear to have a bad grade, to fear that we are rejected from the community. Fear has a very healthy role in learning, but it's temporary. As we learn to develop healthy relationships, to stop beating our brothers and sisters, to stop insulting people, we learn to do what pleases God and to stay in communion with God. And this heart-to-heart relationship with God means that we will not need any more spanking because we will listen to God and do what He tells us. Then we will say, perfect love casts out fear. Okay? But don't teach perfect love casts out fears to kids who need a spanking. Okay? That's the stupidity sometimes we do. Oh yes, we don't need any more fear. We just need to be nice. Encouragements, yes. Corrections, yes. Both. Don't forget the encouragements, of course, because we need to feel valued, loved, and that when we do right also, we are loved. But we are loved not only because we do things right, but because we have people who love us. That's much more. The way we love children models their image of God later. And the way we have learned from our parents, sometimes we have had perfectionist parents who showed love only when we did something right. So we learned that if we don't do something, we don't get love. That's bad teaching, bad theology. We are loved because we are children of God. Full stop. If we mess up, we got a spanking. But this spanking is not removing the foundational love of God which remains there. And even the spanking is given out of love in our life. When we struggle, when we got to struggles with Sandra different times of our ministry life, I realized it was not because God is angry and wants to crush me. He wanted to teach me. The thing is, I was so slow to learn, so convinced I knew everything that my ears were blocked with all the voices inside of me. So He had to make me open my ears. Once I opened my ears, things went much better for us. So, the fear of God is at the foundation of education. It's a very important starting point. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It has not changed in the New Testament. A three-year-old always says no today and needs to find boundaries to grow well. On these boundaries, the kids don't experience them as fun. They experience them as negative. It's part of learning, because this negative will help them not to go where it's dangerous, not to put their fingers in the plug. If they don't get negative, they will continue to sin and to harm themselves and others. So the fear of God, as we speak of education, the Jews are very clear on that. They teach a lot. In Christianity, we have had this fuzzy Jesus and me friendship. I'm sorry, I'm not with that. I'm for this intimate relationship with Jesus, but it's not fuzzy. He really loves us. He loves us so much that he will tell us when we mess up. And sometimes Jesus tells me, Stefan, you did not do right on this one. I don't hear a shouting, nasty voice. I hear a loving voice, but he still tells me. When we wanted to come to this meeting, and I did not spend much time in prayer these last days, you know what? My car shouted, bang, bang, bang! I had to come back to our house. And then we flew to come with you. And it was a way for the Lord to tell me, Stefan, don't forget to listen to me. Do you like it when there are unpleasant situations? No. Did God want to crush me? No, he loves me. But he wants me to remember to listen to him, to walk with him. Because how can I teach you if I don't do what I'm speaking about? And I'm still learning in this business. I'm not done. I hope you will learn so well that you will help me when I'm struggling so that we will learn better together. So just this little speech for saying education without the fear of God is just a joke. So let's learn to do it in a way which glorifies God, which leads to a real love relationship with God. So poetical books, these old books speak of different subjects. Praying, wisdom, suffering. So the title of poetical books is Application of God's Teaching on Specific Subjects. Let me check the time. Yeah, we have 10 more minutes. So could you repeat with me, poetical books? Application of God's teaching on specific subjects. So you see, the first book is God's teaching, the first part in Old Testament, the second part is attempt on failure, the third part is about application. In the New Testament, it will be the same. The first books will be God's teaching in Jesus Christ for all humanity. The second part will be this time success, not failure, but success. And the third time will also be application. In the part of the Old Testament, it's application of God's teaching. It will be the same for the letters. Application of God's teaching, in the case of poetical books, it's for what? On specific subjects. The center is each book is about a subject. It's not about a people, it's not about a church, it's not about a situation, it's about different subjects. Could you repeat with me? Poetical books? Application of God's teaching? On specific subjects. Now let's go to the letters. It's almost the same. The letters of Paul and of the apostles are application of God's teaching also, but in this case, it's not specific subjects, it's specific situations. He will adapt each of his letters to a different situation, to the situation of the Romans, of the Corinthians, of Thessalonica, of the Hebrews, and so forth. Each letter will be adapted to a different setting. So let's speak to set it together. Letters.
Letters.
Application of God's teaching.
Application of God's teaching.
In specific situations.
In specific situations.
Does it make sense?
Yes.
So now is the painful part. You remember? Yes?
Can we repeat one more? I was translating.
Repeat the...
Can we repeat it one more?
Okay, yes. So, letters.
Yes.
Application of God's teaching.
Application of God's teaching.
in specific situations. It's almost the same as the poetical books. One is specific subjects, here it's specific situations. It's good to know the common points and the differences. It helps people to memorize in a clever way. Memorization should always tap into intelligence, into creativity, because that's a good way to memorize. When it's just a parrot repeating, it's not good. Put the brain in action as you memorize, so that you think as you memorize, and you will be more efficient. Okay. Who is the teacher? I think it's Roberta. Roberta, who is your first student, the student you choose?
Colleen.
Colleen, what do you want to know from Colleen? That's good.
That's a good teacher.
When you begin to play together, I did that with Sandra and other people in Reunion Island. They begin to ask tough questions, which make sure we don't understand only the words, but the meaning behind, which make people think, and you learn way better this way. So it's a very good question. What do you say, Colleen? Specific subjects, very good. And the ledgers?
The letters are New Testament's application of God's teaching to specific situations.
Excellent. Teacher Colleen, who is your student?
Okay. My student is...
You can play different ways. One way is you say the subject, so you have people beginning to prepare, and you choose the person after. It's a way to make everyone work more, you know, because you can play anyway. The purpose is that it becomes a game, and that learning becomes playful. Because when it's playful, it's where your capacities are released. Fear has a negative element. The negative element of fear is when it paralyzes us, more adrenaline, and we don't access as easily memories. This one is about both. When learning becomes a game, and there is not a judgment when we learn, then the playfulness becomes more efficient. So try to model playfulness. It's a key part of learning well. It works with kids, it works with adults also. So, teacher Colleen,
okay.
Do it your way.
My student is Sarah. Is she gone? Oh, I have to turn around. Okay.
She's in the
room. Oh, she's okay, so I'll do Leon.
Jesus.
Okay, so maybe compare and contrast the prophecy, the prophetic of Old Testament and New Testament.
The last part of Old and New Testament. Warnings and encouragements.
Encouragements, sorry.
That's good.
A warning and encouragement. I'm gonna say it my way, it's okay. I think the encouragement the people from God through man of God.
Yeah, you're good. You have even added it's God warnings and encouragements through man of God.
Yeah.
But you're good, you have already.
Okay.
Good. And then the New Testament part.
The New Testament, it's Acts?
No, this one, it's the last part of the whole, the New Testament.
Ah, Revelation.
Yes.
Revelation. Mm-hmm.
It's
also warning and encouragement people from God through the return of Jesus.
Yes. Excellent. God's warning and encouragement for the return of Christ. Teacher Leal, who becomes your student? You can play either way, you know, you can play now. It becomes a tool to play together.
Emile.
Emile? Of course, yes.
First book of the Old Testament, Torah.
Torah, the...
teaching of God. He said to do the word of God.
Okay, it's not bad. It's not bad, but it's not precise. Could you help him? Yeah, it's okay. That's good. Let's say you're still teacher. I mean, who becomes your student? Renu? Excellent. Who could tell us the four parts of the Old Testament? Who could do that? That's why someone was not... Dalia, who has not spoken yet. Go on.
Torah. Historical works. Poetical works. Prophets.
Could you tell us with the subtitles backward? That's more simple.
Through men of God.
Very good.
Poetical works are last part is on different subjects.
Yes, very good.
So teaching
application. You start.
Application of God's teaching on different situations.
Yes.
And then historical books. Attempts and failures of Israel, of God's people to obey God's voice.
Yeah, to obey God's teachings, very good, yeah.
And Torah, God's teaching of God's people, Israel.
Excellent, God's teaching for God's people, Israel. Very good, good job.
Thank you.
Dalia, could you choose someone who tells us the New Testament, the four parts? You can go forward, backward, as you want. Who would do that? Choose your student.
You, of course. So, the New Testament in a right way.
New Testament begins with the Gospels, which are God's teachings for all humanity in Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Excellent. Yes, success in living, very good. Jesus teaching through the Holy Spirit or Spirit of God, good.
The third part is the letters. The letters are the applications.
Very good, application of
Jesus teaching.
Application of Jesus teaching. On God's teaching, it's fine, yeah. You're good. The one I wrote is application of God's teaching. Yes, very good.
And then the fourth part is revelation, which is warnings and encouragements about the second coming of Jesus.
Yes, God's warning and encouragements for the return of Christ. Very good. As we finish, I would like to ask you to observe one thing. On your papers, have you noticed something where the author he tends to mess up things? So this time he messed up his graphic by having a little line on the right side of Acts. Do you see this little line, little rectangle? It must be a mistake. This rectangle comes just after Acts. Do you see it? It's like a little page. You see? On the top right of Acts.
Above letters of
Paul on Philemon. Yes.
Oh,
my graphic, the one I printed. I'm very sorry. There has been a slight evolution online. I think it's now this one. So when you download online, you will get this one, which is the updated one. I apologize for this little change. So one more imperfection on my side, sorry. So this one basically is to help you remember the book of Acts is not over. Your life will be the page which is missing. You have through your life to write another page of the book of Acts. The Acts of the Holy Spirit are not over. My prayer is it will be a beautiful page with many interesting things that people will meditate a long time after your death. That's our part. How will we continue the Acts of the Apostles? By living through the Spirit the teachings of Jesus. That's the last word for this morning before we go to it. Yes, Jay.
What's exciting is you can pick your favorite section of this, and I think Leal can probably make a tattoo and put it right on your
Yeah, if you
I can't see it though. Wait, it's back.
Yes, yeah.
Tattoos are available on the
Jay, I let you handle this one.
Maybe first.
Yeah. Great. So thank you for taking this time. And may I ask you, Jay, to pray for the meal?
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word today. Thank you that we've been feasting on your word today, and thank you for that. And thank you for the food that's for our bodies that we're just waiting for us now. Thank you for this good food. May it nourish us. We pray that you would just give us strength for the afternoon session and what awaits us in the evening as well. And bless our fellowship, bless our time together.